Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Watchman as we continue with our study of the times in which we live and what interesting times we live in, and Bible prophecy and how we connect it with what you are seeing in the news or what you are hearing around you today. And a number of things are happening that are actually of a great deal of interest. But first, I'm telling you that the people of the Great Reset or the New World Order, or the people who have the World Economic Forum, that is the sadists who are the cabinet of the devil who are ruling this world, are in serious trouble now, because instead of the Great Reset that they had planned, it seems like there's a great awakening all across the countries. People are tired of the tyranny that they saw during the COVID time, and people are calling for a lot more say in how their lives are being conducted all across the world.
Yes.
Now, if you see, for instance, what's happening in France, the uprising has gone on and on and on, and is not showing any sign of letting up whatsoever. And now people are, I saw the other day, some of the protesters having effigies of Emmanuel Macron and burning them. In a repetition of what used to be called burning at the stake, and basically calling for him to resign. And now that's becoming intense. It's also intense in Netherlands. Also, in Israel, but Israel protests are sponsored by America,
yes.
Actually sponsored by George Soros.
Yes.
So they are not a natural uprising of the people, an organic uprising, so
yes.
to speak. Although there was that, and I think Netanyahu realized that it was becoming too heated, so he kind of pulled back
yes.
on making the judicial reforms, so just to cool down the temperature, which I think was a good move, although the move to change, to make the judicial reforms was good, but because of how the temperature and how everything had come out, and people, you see, when people like George Soros go and foment uprisings, they get just a few people around there who get so many other people. Now, a majority of the people don't even know exactly what the judicial reforms are going to do and exactly what it is they are demonstrating against, but they just go and demonstrate. Mm-hmm. And that usually is the case.
Yeah.
In a big crowd of, let's say, 10,000 people demonstrating, probably around 10 or 20 know the actual reason why they are demonstrating. The others are just demonstrating.
Mm.
Now, that's just really how it is, because you realize that even in France,
yes.
they say that they are demonstrating because Macron has increased the retirement age from 62 to 64.
Yes.
But the people demonstrating are in their 20s.
Yes.
They wouldn't care about retirement 40 years
yes.
from now. So you see, it's like they are just demonstrating.
Mm.
That might have been the trigger, but the real reason for the demonstration is something totally different.
Because yes.
why would somebody who is 23, 24, 25
go
demonstrate about a retirement age, which is going to come 4 decades ahead?
Yes.
So, but you see, they are just tired of the system, and that is what is happening. So, across all this, even in America now, you see it ended in the indictment of former President Donald Trump, after they did everything to demonize him, and they thought it was supposed to be the end of him as a political opponent. But on the contrary, he has become extremely popular.
Yes.
Very popular. There's almost 100 million, Americans who swear by Trump. And now they can't beat that.
Yes.
They can't beat that. So they've decided that they, if possible, to try to use stretched legal things to stop him from standing. And of course, they'll say he broke the law. There is no law he broke. They're just going to drag out some criminal trial. And you know when the next hearing is?
December.
December. And they're saying we want to hurry this up, but the next
yes.
hearing is December. And
yes.
then...
Actually, they're... January 2024.
No, actually, that's when they are. This one is the next hearing
yes.
just of the case. But
yes.
now they want the trial to start in January 2024.
Yes.
What happens in January 2024? That's when the prime, that's when the actual elections are going on. So now they want Trump to be in court instead of campaigning. Now Museveni would be very proud of what is happening in America. Because he's the one who kept Besigye, you know, answering to stupid rape charges in 2006. No, in other words, what I'm saying, tyranny is spreading throughout the world. We used to think tyrants are in Africa. No, they are not. Actually, the ones in Africa might be even better. The ones abroad are dangerous now. It's becoming extremely dangerous because they are used to having a control over their population. But now, after COVID, the population has woke up. Anyway, so now, having said that, I said all that to tell you this, that that the next pandemic is about to be unleashed. We got some reports from people who are inside. Of course, now there are so many insiders inside there saying that they're about to unleash avian flu. It was called, it will be called the avian flu, and it will be H5N1. That will be the scientific code for it. H5N1, and it will be slightly more deadly than COVID was. COVID was harder. It was more deadly in the media than it was anywhere else, because at the end of all the COVID, about nine for people who were 60 years and below, the survival rate was like 99.99%. Most of the people who were actually died of COVID were 75 years and older, and even then it was still in the 99.7 something. So COVID was very not deadly whatsoever. Now we know that. Of course, you couldn't have known that listening to the media at the peak of the whole thing, of the hysteria that came as a result of it. Now, the H5N1, which is about to be released, because now they are saying, how do we stop all these things? Because there's a great awakening happening. People are angry all over. And now, if almost every country will end up in demonstrations, one way or the other. Even, you know, in Africa, there was demonstrations in Tunisia, there was demonstrations South Africa, Senegal, Kenya. And, if you count the ones of Mabati here, which were quashed very early in Uganda as well. But my point is, populations are rising up to the tyranny. And now the tyrants, having tested the power of dictatorship, and of complete authoritarianship during COVID, don't want to let go of that power. But now the people, having tested what it feels like to be in complete confinement without any freedom whatsoever, now do not want to ever give governments that power. So what do these people plan? They are planning H5N1 or the avian flu. But here is the interesting thing. The vaccine for it is already being distributed even before even before the virus comes out. Please, when it comes, whatever you do, do not take that vaccine. Not let anybody mandate you to take that vaccine. If you don't have to, if you won't travel, don't travel. If you not don't, but just do not let anyone convince you to take that avian flu vaccine. It's already being spread around. It's already being transported, and how can it? How can you have a vaccine for a virus which has not yet even come out? But it's going to do, it's going to have bigger damage than we saw with the COVID vaccine. So whatever you do, and I'm telling you this now, I've told it to you before, you've heard about it in the news. You wait when the
media
start getting money, when they start spreading money, and then they start telling you people are dying, and of course people die all the time. But then now what happens is when they are trying to cause hysteria, they get people who died of other things, and say now they died of this.
They combine all the deaths.
So now people will no longer be dying of every other sickness. They will only be dying of one sickness. So now they convince you it is very deadly, but it will be slightly more deadly than COVID. But still nothing for you to be scared of. Absolutely nothing for you to be scared of. Because number one, what you have to know, if you're listening to me here, is one of the biggest helps against these especially respiratory viruses is vitamin D. Vitamin D, which we get here very properly with the sun. So that's why they hardly ever hit Africa the way they do. COVID hit Africa only in the media. Not in actual life. And all the people, if you notice, there is a pattern about all the people who died of COVID. There is a very clear pattern of all the people who died of COVID. I know I can tell you, but I would be getting into politics, which I do not want to get to. But there was something in there. Now, but let's not get there. Let's move into something else. So now, just know this thing is coming out. And guess where it is coming from this time? Not Wuhan in China.
Yes.
This time it is coming from Ukraine. So that's why, as soon as Russia invaded Ukraine, when Russia comes and takes over those laboratories where they are making this gain of function research, gain of function is research which takes a virus which is common in animals and makes it transmittable among human beings.
Yes.
Now, and these are biological weapons.
Yes.
It's all done by human beings. It's not, there's nothing natural there. Mm. Now we've proven, it has been proven all over, that even COVID was done through biological, intervention.
Yes.
It wasn't a natural occurrence, as was initially told as a lie.
Mm.
So now, when Putin threatened to come and go and take over those laboratories, he had entered the deal of all these Satanists who rule at the World Economic Forum.
Yes.
And so they came down on him very heavy, and they come down on him even in the media, make him look evil, and even American prophecy teachers start saying Putin is evil. No, their country is the one which is evil.
Yes.
It's the one which is supporting evil. But you see, you can't tell that to Americans, because in their mind, America is the symbol of righteousness. It is not. It is not. It's not even a symbol of an empire. The empire is crumbling as we speak right now. Anyway, I just had to say that. I'm sure you have some things to say.
Yes. Now, when you say the empires are crumbling, and that's the American empire, it's really crumbling right now. And we are seeing it day by day. It's crumbling, looking at everything which is happening in the West. And actually, America itself and the combination of the Western bloc, it's crumbling right very fast. And at a rate which is alarming, actually, because I know it's fulfillment of Bible prophecy, because the scripture says that these are not going to be part of the end time empire, which will bring automatically, which will bring the Antichrist. So they are really crumbling, and that's actually the good news we are seeing in this end time, because everything they are planning, everything they are pushing forward is getting dismantled day by day. They try to bring it back, but being dismantled day by day, and they are being taken. I believe, like what the scripture says in Exodus, that the wheels of Pharaoh were taken away by the Lord, because they were coming against the children of God, and the Lord had to take away the wheels of Pharaoh so that the children of God can now move on. So I believe what we are seeing right now happening, it is that which is forming up to what the scripture says, for the Bible prophecy and the fulfillment of Bible prophecy of the end time.
First, you get for us that scripture. As
yes.
you get it, let me say this. The reason we are saying this is, first of all, so many countries now are moving away from the dollar. And now, having the dollar as the world's reserve currency, and having almost every transaction in the world being done in dollars, even when it does not involve America, and has nothing to do with any American company, it was such a privilege for America, because that meant that while America is the most indebted country, their debts do not affect them, because their debts are in dollars.
Yes.
For them, they can just print more dollars and pay their debt.
Yes.
Because they are in charge of the dollar.
Yes.
But if Uganda is indebted, let's say to the tune of $30 billion, for us, we have to sell something to get $30 billion to pay our debt. Whereas America, if they are indebted to the tune of $34 trillion or thereabout, they don't have to sell anything.
Yes.
They just have to print more dollars and they pay their debt. So it was such a privilege for them to be the country whose currency is used across the world. But now that privilege has been abused a lot, has been abused through a lot of sanctions, through fomenting so many wars, through wanting total control, through imperialistic control, through their desire to not just have trade, influence, but also to use that trade influence to spread their cultural influence, homosexuality, now trans, now pedophilia, now bestiality, all the bad things that they want, that, they are pushing for in America. They want the whole world to adopt them.
Yes.
So now the world is getting tired of that.
Yes.
Okay? Now, somehow China has seen a loophole, although there is also a prophecy for China.
Yes.
So it's not necessarily going to be the big nation that sees it is, but it might be used in this case to bring down America.
Yes.
Before itself is also brought down.
Yes, yes.
But the thing is, China has seen an opportunity.
Yes.
So they have entered a deal, of course, with the BRICS countries.
Yes.
First, tell us about those.
Now, in 2009, China, the China saw this, like what you said, the loophole, and then they began to reach out to the big economic nations, which was Brazil,
Russia, India,
and India,
and South Africa.
Yes, South Africa later on came. So then they formed the BRIC first. Then, of course, in 2010, South Africa joined it. And they formed a partnership of working together economically, working together and spread their influence all over the world. So that has been how it's begun. But later on, it started growing with their, because all of them, they are, because when you see China itself, its economy it was growing by that time. India, very much, and also even in things like industry, pharmaceuticals, and also we see Brazil. So all of these, when they came together, and they had to get also South Africa, and because it was also actually South Africa denied America, because they said during the apartheid policy regime, America wasn't helping them. Their help came from the Soviet republics. So they had to come and leave America. Then they went to join BRICS. Now, this formation now began to be something so big, to the point that when it reached, I think 2011, that's when now they really brought up and set up a bank, which was called the New Development Bank, to sponsor what their influence and their growth. Now, that was something which to counteract the performance of IMF and then the World Bank, because the West had its block of the financial strength muscle, which was IMF and then the World Bank. And they were giving African nations and also other nations aid. But then the BRICS came up with this new development bank, and then they began, all of them, all the four nations, they invested money. And they said the profits which will come out of them, all of them will get 20% profits from what their investments will come. So they started investing in Africa, in all over the all
especially parts. Africa, Asia,
yes,
and South
Asia,
America.
Yes. So what this came out to be, it is came out to be the now the dominant influence which is coming, and to this moment, we have almost every kind of nations in Africa, in Europe, Asia, and then also parts of the Canadians, they are eyeing and coming for the BRICS,
which is interesting, because first of all, there has been, of course, there were stories all over.
Yes.
You read one in The Economist saying that BRICS hasn't taken off. The truth is there were issues.
Yes.
With it. First of all, the number one issue was the dollar.
Yes.
It is difficult to cut away from that Western system, the IMF being, you know, controlled, of course, by France.
Yes.
And by Europe, and the World Bank being controlled by America. It was difficult to get away from that when you are still using the dollar. So kind of their progress was very slow. But now when everything seems to have turned around with this, Ukraine war, which was actually fomented by America, although they claim, of course, they push all the blame to Putin, but which was fomented by America, because now you see their latest thing is they have put Finland, which is right on the border with Russia, has joined NATO.
NATO, yes.
And all NATO countries have to agree for a new member to go in. The country which had initially refused to agree guess what? It was Turkey.
Yes.
Then they had an earthquake.
Yes.
An earthquake which came after almost all Western countries, the previous 24 hours, had withdrawn all their embassies and the embassy staff just before the earthquake. Then the earthquake happened. You know, some of these things sound like they are fiction, but yes, these are realities. Now, so Turkey came back. Now they were humble.
Yes, yes.
And then they accepted Finland. Now Finland has joined. Yes. Now NATO is right at the doorstep of Russia.
Mm.
And that was an agreement which was made between the West and the Soviet Union.
Yes.
That NATO should not expand eastwards.
Yes.
Now, of course, they have broken all those agreements.
Yeah.
And Ukraine has been a place for them to do all their dirty work.
Yes.
There's a lot of laundry being done in Ukraine in terms of money laundering,
yes,
for the top families in the world, in terms of even viruses, as we've spoken before.
Yes.
So anyhow, when this war started, now everything's, China sees the opportunity. Now suddenly African countries, which previously would be inclined to just agreeing with everything the West does, say, no, we are not voting against Russia.
Mm.
So they go to the UN, what? So many African countries, including Uganda,
yes,
say that they are not voting against Russia.
Yes.
Now, America is no longer going to bully us.
Yes.
Now, the other day, the president of El Salvador in South America said, now America, now that Trump has been indicted on a very stupid charge, which you would even have to stretch to make it a misdemeanor,
yes,
but somehow they have made it a felony. He said now America has lost all their moral authority to tell us anything to do with democracy.
Yes.
Because they are even worse than us.
Yes.
Because now, and that can even be true, because, there are opposition people who are out who have not been put charges on.
Yes. No any other former president has ever been. Yes. Yes.
So now, the El Salvador was saying America is losing its economic might through the loss of the dollar, and now they have lost their moral authority completely. In other words, they have decided that bringing down Trump is worth losing everything. They would rather burn down the house that is America rather than let Trump become president again. And of course, the truth is, if there was ever a free and fair election, Trump would win it by an absolute landslide.
Yes.
An absolute landslide. You should see how, first of all, he's... You know, there are so many things, but which I do not want to get into, lest, you know, we lose our point here. But my point is, so America loses their moral authority.
Yes.
Now they are losing their, psychological edge over everybody who attacks. They have the ability to use their media to demonize anybody.
Mm.
You know, if they don't want Gaddafi, they'll say he's a dictator. What?
Yes,
then they go and crush him.
Yes.
Now everybody knows, every country they go and remove people, the country becomes worse. That is true for Iraq. That is true for Libya.
Yes.
That is true for Afghanistan.
Afghanistan, yes.
And so many other countries. Mm. So now there is a way this American imperial empire is collapsing in the mind of people. And by the way, empires exist in minds.
Yes.
More than anything else,
yes,
in the mind.
Mm.
So now China sees an opportunity. The other day, Malaysia said that they are no longer going to be using, after the visit of the Chinese president, Malaysia said they are no longer going to be using American dollars.
Yes.
That's a decision that's already been taken by Brazil, by Mexico, even now is getting there. Some other South American countries,
yes.
India.
Yes.
These are big, big, big countries,
yes,
in terms of trade.
Yes.
Of course, China. The question is, some of them are not saying we are not going to use the Japanese yuan, but we shall be using each our currency.
Yes.
So, if
for that instance, is a step.
Yes, that's a step.
Mm.
For if India is doing business with China, India pay using their rupee and the Chinese pay using their yuan.
Yes.
So, there is no need for going
because
to
actually, at the end of the First World War and Second World War, the dollar began to rise up because most of the nations they traded a lot of their gold to America, and because actually previously all global reserve reserve currency in the world used to be backed by gold. But then later on, after the war, we realized that all these other nations became weaker because they were buying selling their gold to America. And then later on, I think in 1944, the Bretton Woods agreement, the 44 nations came up and then they agreed that dollar would be now the world reserve currency, and they will allow all the nations to trade using dollar. Mm. So if Uganda is trading with maybe Kenya, they will trade with dollar. Mm. So that has been going on around, and it has made dollar so strong. But we see that later on, when everything started happening, the dollar began to like gain strength so much. But when you see...
By the way, to cut you short, as even we move away from that,
yes,
what really, really made the dollar strong was the oil dollar.
Yes, the petrol dollar. Yes.
And that was Saudi Arabia agreeing that everybody buying their oil is going to buy it in dollars.
Yes.
And guess what Saudi Arabia decided now?
It has left.
You don't have to buy it in dollars. You can buy it in Chinese yuan. You can buy it in ruble, and so on and so forth. Yes. So this is getting very complicated. Now show us that scripture you wanted to show us.
It is in... Exodus chapter 14, from verse 23.
What does it say?
Okay, we start from verse 22. It says, so the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea. All Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch, that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. 25. And he took off their chariot wheels, so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians.
Okay, so that's what we believe now is going to happen. And by the way, it is already happening because the Great Awakening is in place right now. But that's not the scripture actually I wanted you to to read. It was the one involving America.
Yes.
And it's I think
it's in Daniel chapter 7.
Okay, yes. Let's start from the first verse.
Yes.
In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. You know, first of all, it's interesting that one day I used to attend a church. Mm. So when you'd go and tell the, people there that I had a dream, then the pastor says that for us, we don't run our churches by dreams.
Mm.
And of course, he was my pastor. I couldn't tell him back at the time. But if you take away dreams, you've taken away one third of the Bible.
Yeah.
The dreams are very, very important. Do not, when God uses dreams a lot to warn people, or even to give them prophetic signs of things to come.
Yes.
And so many people get dreams and they do not understand what the dream means in the now.
Mm.
Now, if the dream does not make sense now and you cannot get clear direction of it, it could be a prophetic dream, like this one of Daniel.
Yes.
Daniel did not understand what he saw, but he wrote it down.
Yes.
Now, we who are reading it almost 2,000 and how many? Daniel lived around about 500 BC.
Yes.
About 2,500 years later, are the ones who understand what Daniel dreamt, around 500 something BC.
Yes.
So, sometimes you have a dream and... I'm speaking this because we are speaking to the people in the church, and you don't understand what the dream means.
Yes.
But it could be prophetic. That means future, futuristic. Yes. So just get it, write it down, and keep it there. Now, there was a time I used to do that, and I would get dreams and write them down. Some of them I should have been able to interpret them at the time I got them because the messages were clear. But after some time, I went and looked at my book of dreams. This was so many years ago. I went and looked at my book of dreams, and I realized that everything I was living in the now, I'd already dreamt about it previously.
Yes.
So there was I could see that almost God was showing me my life ahead through dreams.
Yes.
So these dreams are very, very important.
Yes.
I just wanted to say that. So Daniel had a dream. He did not say he had a vision.
Yes.
It says he had a dream. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, they have a vision of the night, but it says he wrote down the dream. So it is, dreams are very important. Just know that.
Mm.
Verse 2. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And the four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from one another. Now, of course, the great winds of the heaven is showing a movement, like like some spiritual movement,
yes,
which happens like when God is blowing winds,
yes,
to create things, to create empires. He blows winds and then aligns empires and puts them in the way he wants. So it's an influence from above which has an impact on the on the earth. And says the four great beasts came up from the sea, different one from the other. Now the great sea is the great, is the world, is the peoples, you know,
yes,
the nations of the world. Verse 8 says, and the first one was like a lion and had eagle's wings. What does that mean?
That is the nation of Great Britain, because it's Great Britain has ever been represented by lion.
It is represented by lion.
Yes.
And why does it have eagle's wings?
Eagle's wings, it's America.
Hey.
And America, the national symbol is eagles.
The eagle. So America, okay. So America came out of Britain.
Yes.
That's okay. And I watched till the wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. So the wings were plucked off.
Yes.
And the wings became a separate nation.
Yes.
And that nation is America.
Yes.
Which was taken away from Britain, really.
Yes, yes.
So the lion initially had eagle's wings, then the eagle's wings were cut off, then the eagle became, you know. Then said, and suddenly, and you know, it's interesting because I've had American Bible prophecy teacher saying this. You know, this is Daniel chapter 7, verse 4. And which says that the eagle's wings, I saw the eagle's wings being cut off. Now, you know that America got its independence on July 4th, 1776, July being the seventh month,
yes,
and the fourth day. So Daniel chapter 7 verse 4, talking about the birth of America, as December, that's when they got independence from Britain. Okay,
yes,
July 4th. Okay, now that's a detail. Verse 5, and suddenly another beast, second like a bear, which is the, what's the bear?
Bear is the symbol of Russia.
Okay.
Yes.
It was raised up to one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth.
Actually, this is the representation of the symbol of Soviet control. Yes.
The bear with 3 ribs.
Yes.
Okay. In its mouth. And they said thus to it, arise, devour much flesh. Okay. Now that we're talking now about a time when the Soviet Empire came out,
yes,
probably about the Bolshevik Revolution.
Yes.
1917 to 1919. So, and after this, behold, and there was another like a leopard.
Yes.
Which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. And the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to him. Which is the leopard?
Germany, the nation of Germany.
Okay. Now, did you know that it says here it had wings like of a cockerel?
Yeah? Yes, yes.
And you know which country has a symbol of a cockerel?
That is France.
France. Anyhow, so this alliance coming to pass here. And then it says, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now, this is talking about, what is it talking about?
This is talking about the empires that will form up and come to the end time, the last generation, which, of course, when you read on, it speaks about the time when the Lord will come. So it's speaking about that empire which will be in the end time before the coming of Jesus. But it says later on that this is the empire that will actually bring in the Antichrist, and it will form up the whole entire Antichrist system, Antichrist empire. That's why even here it says that they were divided into 10 horns and 10 crowns. Yes.
Okay. So now we see how that empire is being formed here. Right now, the things we are talking about are not futuristic.
Yes.
They are happening now.
Now, yes.
Okay. Now, Then he says here, I'll move straight to verse 11. And I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. That is the Antichrist.
Yes.
Speaking pompous words, big words. Have you heard them speaking?
Yes.
Have you heard the spirit, the people who are representing, not that they are him, yes, but the people who are representing
they
him.
They have the spirit. They
speak with authority. By 2030, you'll own nothing and be happy.
Yes.
We are going to do this. We are going to lock you down. Like they speak like you have no say in everything. There's that Jewish... Jewish professor, what's he called? Nova Harari.
Yes.
Who says, so many useless people. The question is, what are we going to do? Because AI is going to take all your jobs, and now the rest of you are going to be useless human beings. The question is, what are we going to do with all you useless human beings?
Yes.
And he says it with almost like sounding like, we are going to have to find a way of killing you because you're useless. It's pointless even having you in the first place. And that's one of those World Economic Forum people. Now, I said that just to tell you that they speak with pompous words.
Yes.
And they speak with a lot of authority as if nobody can stand in their way. Now, this is the spirit of the Antichrist. And you must know that the people who carry it speak exactly like that.
Yes.
You hear them speaking. I heard that man, the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, said,
yes,
the future is not just happening. We are making the future. We are making the future.
Yes.
He speaks like he's God.
Yes.
But that's now the spirit of the Antichrist, because he speaks with the pompous words, with the great authority. And then he says that, then this technology, whoever controls this technology is going to control the world.
Yes.
He speaks like he created the world.
Yes.
Anyhow, but they're in for a shock. It says here that they're speaking with pompous words, which the horn was with. I watched Daniel chapter 7, verse 11.
Yes.
I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives are prolonged for a season and a time. Now, this is the one of him being slain is a bit later, but now this is what the one which is more relevant to us right now. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days. This is not talking about Jesus coming to earth. He's talking about Jesus going to, at the Father. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. To all the peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. Now, this is the time talking about the kingdoms of this world belonging to the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. Now, while this man is here speaking with pompous words and, trying to behave like he owns the world.
Yes.
In heaven, God is giving the king, as he has given the kingdom to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ gives the kingdom to the saints.
Yes.
To rule.
Yes.
Now, for a brief period of time, as this happens, it might not necessarily look with your, objective, with your eye, that it is so, but the reality is you're going to see it, because these people are going to be crushed because they are trying to come before their time.
Yes.
Now, when you move on to verse 23, it says, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which should be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth and trample it and break it in pieces. This is talking about the kingdom of the Antichrist.
Yes.
And then it says, the 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom. Initially, I thought they are necessarily 10 countries, but when I'm looking, maybe they might not necessarily even be 10 countries, because there are people whom I see. And then it says that in Revelation, not here, it says that they will be of one mind. To give all the authority to the Antichrist.
Yes.
And now we are seeing this happening, and you see like people in the World Economic Forum and in all other places, and they are all of one mind to give their authority to the Antichrist.
Yes.
We are just around the corner knowing who it is. Of course, we have our suspicions and things that we talk about, but exactly knowing when we know this now is for sure the Antichrist. So, and then it says, and another one shall rise after them, and he shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words. Remember again,
yes,
the spirit of the Antichrist, pompous words. People speak with great, you know, like they own the world.
Eh? Yes.
You shall speak with pompous words against the Most High. Notice, he speaks pompous words against God.
Yes.
Because you see, some believers will get it. And when somebody starts saying, no, God has given us dominion, you say that's the spirit of the Antichrist. Because you say, no. If I'm saying that, for it to be spirit of the Antichrist, yes, I have to be speaking pompous words against the Most High. Not pompous words.
For God.
Or not even high-sounding words as a servant of God, but yes, against the Most High.
Yes.
And then he says, and shall persecute the saints. Now, the word actually persecute here is the translation I'm reading says persecute.
Yes.
But the Old King James and so many others say he shall wear out the saints. Now, that's a very important word, wear out. Tell us, what does it mean to wear out?
Now, wear out is, now, for instance, I'll just give us what has transpired, maybe the season of COVID. Now, in that's the time when people were looking for freedom. But say, now do this. Maybe we are going to they speak and say, do this one thing, then we shall give you back the freedom. Then that's people go and do that. And then people realize that after that, they say, now, no, there is another thing. So at the end of it all, people have been toiling and toiling, following the instructions of the Antichrist or the systems of the Antichrist, but it is not yet bringing up what they want. So that's the first kind of wearing, whereby they will keep on piling on you things that you are supposed to finish to get what you want or to receive it, and yet that is, they don't give it. So that makes you worn out. Yes.
Okay. I remember I was, during the campaigns, I was meeting some pastors at some place, I won't mention the place, and there were a number of them, like close to 200 of them, and I was telling them about the great things that God has in store for the church.
Yes.
And I could see people who had been worn out.
Yes.
They were, you know, churches have been closed for more than a year. And but there is even no sign yet at the time that they were going to be opened. And, you know, some of them had tried to obey their way out of the tyranny. Nobody ever obeyed his way out of tyranny.
Yes.
If somebody is a tyrant and you obey him, they're just going to become a worse tyrant.
Yes.
Just know that. So, and I could see people who had lost the will to fight. That's what it means to be worn out. Somebody can wear you out without defeating you.
Yes.
Okay? But they just wear you out. Where you're not defeated, but you're tired. You're tired of fighting. You're tired of what? And that makes you inactive.
Yes.
They might not even take the final step of completely defeating you. That might not be easy. But they take away your will to fight.
Yes.
And you become docile.
Yes.
And now that fits the kingdom of the Antichrist very well. Because it says, remember, it says, he shall wear out the saints of the Most High.
Yes.
Yeah? And shall intend to change the times and the law. Yeah. Now these are the things where times and the law, this is the time for which the King God prepared the Antichrist to be in charge. He has a time for him. But the Antichrist wants to come before that so that he can extend his period in control.
Yes.
He seeks to change the time and the law. But of course, we know that he cannot do that. But in that time, he wears out the saints.
Yes.
People become battle weary. They do not want to fight. They do not want. And I saw so many people.
Their passion is lost.
Exactly. They lose their passion.
Yes.
And that's a period which scripture says, because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold.
Yes.
And you see that lawlessness, people who have started wars, who have killed people with vaccines and what, people like Bill Gates are walking free.
Yes.
And the people who have killed, they're on their own. Nobody cares about them. And so you're saying that now, so the love of many works cold. Because at that point, and here is the warning for everybody, at that point of wearing out the saints, it looks to the people like, where is our God? Do we even have a God? What is he doing? How come these people seem to be taking control and so on? And that only comes because you've not been spending enough time with God.
Yeah.
Now, I want to warn everybody that in order not to be worn out, in order to always stay on the cutting edge in this kingdom and be there, right there, when ultimately the victory comes, because it is going to come.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about victory of the rapture that is yet to come,
yes,
but I'm talking about a victory of where now the church rolls back all this tyranny and brings back freedom.
Yes.
But in order to be on the right there on the cutting edge until that period, you really have to designate time to spend with God.
Yes.
You see, there are so many people even who are in ministry who wake up in the morning, they have this to do, I have counseling to do, I have this to do. And I was warning some pastor one day who was telling me that the guy has like 4 or 5 radio shows in a week. He has a night prayer on Thursday, on Friday. He has intercession on Wednesday. He has some program on Monday, and on Sunday he's preaching 2 services. I told him, you are going to end up with nothing. Mm. You're going to wear yourself out completely.
Mm. Burn out.
Burn out completely. Because I told him, when do you ever get time? The things you're preaching, where do you get them from?
Mm.
When do you ever get time to actually spend time with God?
Mm.
When do you ever get time to read the Bible, when you're not reading it because you're going to preach, but you're just reading it to teach yourself?
Mm.
Now, this is where the problem, this is where you even find people, believers in church, appearing to have more faith in what God can do than their leaders.
Yes.
Because for them, at least on Sunday, they go and listen.
Yes.
And then they, you know, they internalize and what, they spend time in worship and prayer and so on. And they might even come for a midweek service, maybe on a Wednesday or a Thursday, and still listen. But now the person who is giving, it's like food. If I come and eat food at your house today,
yes,
and I come and eat food at your house in midweek,
yes,
and for you who is giving me food, you're not eating.
Mm.
You are going to starve to death.
Yes.
Well, for me, I'm going to be putting on weight.
Yes.
Now, it is imperative for all people who are in ministry and who are in the service of God,
yes,
in order to avoid this, because I've seen people who have been worn out,
yeah,
and people come to me and you're trying to tell them something, and you can see they have been worn out. Like, you can see you're telling them things, we believed those things long time ago and they didn't work. And now what are you telling me? And you see where somebody who is worn out.
Yes, yes.
Because you're trying to lift them up to believe God for something.
Yes.
And they are looking at you as if you're naive.
Yes.
And the reason that is so is because they've been worn out.
Yes.
And the reason they are worn out is because they don't spend time praying.
Yes.
They don't spend time studying the word.
Yes.
Not to preach, but studying the word for themselves.
Yeah.
Eh? And now that is very, very important. Because if you're a preacher and you open the Bible just to get a message,
yes,
you are in serious trouble.
Yes.
I'm warning you here, because so many of you who are listening to me are in ministry, you are in serious trouble.
Yes.
If you do not just get the Bible on a Monday when you have no sermon to give,
yes,
or on a Tuesday or on a Wednesday, and you read the Bible just to learn, to teach yourself, to update yourself with the Word of God.
Yes.
If you don't pray and learn how to do what is called ministering to God,
yes,
which we saw in the Acts of the Apostles,
yes,
when it says that the disciples were ministering to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit spoke to them. Now, if every time you're praying for something,
yes,
I'm praying for this, I'm praying for that, you never actually just pray ministering to God,
yes,
of just, you know,
time with the Lord,
spending time with the Lord.
Yes.
It's like, imagine if you had a wife.
Mm.
And this symbolism, of course, is also from the scripture.
Yes.
And she only talks to you when she wants something.
Mm.
And she cannot want to spend time with you.
Mm.
She comes and says, my husband, Akena, I need this, then you give. Then the next day, I need this, then you give. The next day, how is that relationship going to be? Now, next time you even see her phone, you see her, now what does she want?
Yes.
You see, eh? Now, we cannot be like that with the Lord.
Yes.
We have to be in a place where we spend time with him. And there is nothing we want. We actually fully supply. And it's not like you don't want.
Yes.
But you feel you're fully supplied and you just want to spend time with him.
Mm.
And that's what they call ministering to God. Because you have to minister to God before you minister to the saints.
Yes.
And I just had to bring that in, because this wearing out of the saints, which we are seeing in this day and age, where you see a minister of God, and I've seen so many of them, and they are worn out. And you used to see them at some stage, and they were on fire.
Yes.
They were on fire. They had faith. They were believing God for big things, and they were speaking big things. And now suddenly you see them, and they have descended into some kind of apathy, and now they are using worldly means to get their needs met.
Mm. Yes, so it is really something which we'll need to learn, all of us as children of God, because once you don't put that inside you, it will not come out. And mostly everything which we have in Christ, it is already inside us. And that wearing out of the saints, it is when you now begin to, because what the Bible speaks about the Antichrist is, and also maybe even the devil, is that he is the ruler of the prince, is the prince of the air. So there are certain things which are outside, which governs and controls the trend. Now, when you spend so much time outside, you'll be controlled by all those things which are happening from the outside.
Yes.
And when you don't take time inside, and even the Lord, the Bible says that the Lord is inside us. So when we don't take that enough time to build that and cultivate and water that which is inside of us, it cannot really come out. And that's the point when you get worn out, because the system of the Antichrist, and it's already here, it's already moving around us. But once you pull out and you go always time and focus on the inside and inward, with the things which is inside you, the things of God which is inside of you, all that will actually break out and tear out. It will become like what is existing outside doesn't really it's not reality to you, and the things which are inside of you, which are the true things, they will be the reality. They'll become the true, your true perspective, everything. Even it will become your real life, like the way the scripture says that out of your belly shall flow the rivers of life.
And it also says the kingdom of God has not come by observation,
yes, but inside,
it is inside you.
Yes.
So thank you very much actually for that. Now,
yes.
So the thing is, we are, because the wearing out of the saints is going to be a major, major factor in this end time.
Yes.
And it might not be defeating, but you see, when, do you know what it means when you have an army which is worn out? Imagine you're going to fight. You see, even the soldiers sing songs, they do what? They psych themselves out, by singing songs of victory and what, just so that they may keep themselves psyched up. Now, when you have an army which is worn out, that's an army which is not going to do precisely what it is supposed to do.
Yes.
Now, that's why it says here, Daniel chapter 5, verse 20, Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, rather, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change the times and the law, and the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times and half a time.
Yes.
But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven. Now, this is not talking about heaven. It's talking about under heaven.
Yes.
Which means earth.
Yes.
So I'll read it again. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey
him.
And this is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me, and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. Now, Daniel saw these things and was greatly troubled. We are in the middle of them.
Yes.
And we are not supposed to be troubled, because we know whom we believed. And we know that we are going to spend time. And this, by the way, the warning I've just given you, we have just given you, is not just about ministers. It's also about believers.
Yes.
Because I also saw believers, especially during that COVID time, who were worn out.
Yes.
Absolutely worn out. You tell them certain things, they say, ah, man, we've had that stuff before. Eh?
Yes.
And usually that's what comes. It's being worn out comes with skepticism, with mockery, or with distance from things which you once associated with.
Yes.
Now become you start looking at them from a distance.
Mm.
Now they look like they are unachievable.
Yes.
Yet there was a time in your life when you were very sure that you're on the brink of getting this thing. I'm going to do this. I'm going to prosper. I'm going to do this. And, and you were actually on the brink of doing it. And you believed it. And it completely consumed your being.
Yes.
But now when you get worn out, through battle and all that, the next thing, somebody tells you, you know, this is going to happen. You say, yeah, we've had that before.
Yes.
Yeah. You are naive. You know.
Mm.
Yeah.
We've gone through this. Yeah, we've looked and...
Yeah, and they make it look like they are experienced.
Yes.
So you are the one who doesn't know what you're talking about.
Mm.
But the reality is that they have been worn out. they have been worn out in battle. And if the Lord can stir them up just one more time, and there are so many of them, if the Lord can stir them up to believe him for great things, they will see great things in this end time.
Yes.
So great a thing.
Mm.
That they will not even be able to believe it. Let me end with this because I'm feeling led to go here. It's in the book of Amos.
Yes.
Amos. Chapter 9.
Yes. Amos
9. Amos chapter 9. Okay. It says here. I got it. Now, this is a scripture that I really am feeling the Lord putting on my heart for today. And you have to believe that the Spirit of God is in me and is speaking through me. Because the purpose of the watchman is to tell the people what is coming, and they do it. That was the scripture with which the Lord called me.
Yes.
In Ezekiel chapter 33.
Yes.
Where he says, status, verse 3, where he says, I've made you a watchman. And when you see something coming, you shall warn the people. And those who heed shall be saved.
Yes.
And those who do not heed, it shall be up to them.
Yes.
I've warned you about so many things.
Yes.
Now I've warned you about the next plandemic.
Yes.
Which they will call a pandemic, but which is planned. The avian flu, H5N1.
Yes.
I've warned you it's coming. Okay? That's why I didn't get it from the Lord.
Yes.
I got it from
watching
and seeing how things are going.
Yes.
But there are some things which I get from the Lord, like this one which I'm giving you. Amos chapter 9, verse 13. It says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper.
Amen.
And the treader of grapes, him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. Now the plowman overtaking the reaper is a symbol of speech which shows abundance.
Yes.
Imagine you've planted your grapes.
Yes.
And you know, let me use maize.
Yes.
Imagine you planted maize and the maize is still in the garden.
Yes.
And you're still reaping the maize from the previous season.
Yes.
But now it is time to plow for the next season.
Yes.
And now people are telling you, hurry up to harvest the maize, because we have to plow for the next season.
Yes.
You know, that is a symbol of abundance.
Yes.
That the plowman is overtaking the reaper.
Mm.
So usually people reap, then it takes a period of time when they are still eating of what they reaped before it is now time to plow again and plant again.
Mm.
But now they are still in the process of reaping because there is too much to reap.
Yes.
And the season of planting has already come back, and the plowman shall overtake the reaper. So this is a symbol of abundance. And says, and the trader of grapes will overtake him who sows seed.
Mm.
So when they get the grapes, they go and, you know, trade them and what.
Yes.
So now they're trading grapes, but there is, you know, a lot more.
Yes.
So this is all a whole symbol of abundance. And the mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. Now, those who in this end time refuse to be worn out.
Yes.
Coming ahead of this, okay?
Yes.
Is going to be a period of abundance for the church.
Yes.
Such as they have not seen before. I'm telling you, like, it is going to be extremely, you know, a period of extreme abundance that people will even be shocked about it.
Yes.
And people who lived before in times of need will look back and say, how did it ever come like this? And I'm telling you, this is going to happen now, and it is going to be miraculous.
Yes.
You see, previously people are saying, if you want to get abundance, now it comes miraculously. And now actually this is how it all happens, because I would thought that was the final verse I'm going to read, but let me read this one also from a scripture which you know very well as we come to a close. And it's from Psalms 23. And it says, a very important psalm, very prophetic psalm.
Yes.
Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, walking through the valley of the shadow of death would be almost what we've been through all this misery of COVID and so on, when nothing seems to be working out. And he says, but we shall fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. But now the next verse, after walking through the valley of the shadow of death, the next verse says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I want you to know that the table prepared is coming now that we are coming out of this valley of the shadow of death.
Yes.
Where every time you turn on the news, people are dying, dying. What is this? Death, death, death. Either through war, through pestilence, through, you know, all manner of things, everything. Yes. It's almost as if there is a bombardment from every direction of negativity. But now after we've come out of, we are not supposed to fear an evil. We are not supposed to be worn out. We are supposed to spend time in the presence of God. Very important to make sure that we are not worn out. After we've come out of that, next is preparing a table for us in the midst of our enemies. Okay? And then it says, you anoint my head and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our final word.
Yes. This is just so beautiful because when you spoke about the soldiers, an army, having an army which has been worn out, the Lord led me to Judges chapter 8. Maybe we'll not read it.
No, you read it.
But
very fast.
Okay, let me just
speak it.
Yes, because there was a time when Zeba, the armies, Zeba, they were pursuing a king, and they wanted to take over. And that's the time when their armies, it reached a moment when their armies were worn out. And this is what you were saying here, that there can be a time when you're really worn out. But they gathered strength, and they went and pursued. Now, that's gathering strength might mean like what you've been telling us of entering the presence of God, spending time with God, and gathering the strength which comes from the Spirit of God.
Okay, where it says they were weary but still in pursuit.
Yes, but still in pursuit. And after that, the Lord prepared a table before them, because that was the moment when they took over and then they gained the kingdom.
Okay.
So that is what everyone of us should learn today, and we are going to take over.
Okay, so do not let the spirit of the Antichrist wear you down.
Yes.
Be motivated. Spend time in the presence of God. Thank you so much for being here with us. We'll be with you again next week. In the meantime, have yourselves a wonderful evening. God bless you all.
Amen.
That was The Watchman. Tune in next week. Join us for our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at Amare The Palace, along Gaba Road, near the American Embassy. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.